Now that the election is over, one of the first things on the Clinton administration's agenda is China, which Secretary of State Christopher will be visiting later this month. The announcement that he is resigning in January raises some questions about U.S. foreign policy, and China specialists say that's one thing the U.S. can't afford where Beijing is concerned. They say the issues at stake are immediate and explosive. NPR's Vicky O'Hara reports.
The prospect of a new foreign policy team is worrisome to Asia specialists. They say that after 3.5 years of unnecessary crisis, the Clinton administration finally has found its way to constructive engagement with Beijing. The most recent evidence, this week's release of a prominent Chinese dissident, Chen Zeming. But Sinologists say the learning process for the Clinton administration was lengthy, also dangerous for the stability of Northeast Asia, at times punctuated by missiles and warships. The problems began with Clinton's first presidential campaign. Over and over, Clinton reminded Americans, President Bush vetoed a congressional decision to revoke China's most favored nation status, MFN, on human rights grounds. Sinologists say China policy at that time focused on human rights to the exclusion of other critical issues in the U.S.-China relationship. Once elected, Bill Clinton decided his China policy was mistaken. He reversed it. Stanley Roth, a former Asia advisor to the Clinton White House, says the president made the right decision. The hard line was unproductive. But Roth says the about-face had repercussions.
The Chinese were confused about the changes, and I think perhaps overestimated the power of the American business community to influence administration policy towards China. I think the American people were somewhat confused about China policy and whether there was a flip-flop and whether the United States was backtracking on human rights. And so I think that there was a need to clarify the policy better, to establish priorities more clearly, to stay the course better.
Sinologists say that a bigger problem with the administration's China policy is that for most of the first term, there really wasn't one, not in the strategic sense. Ambassador Winston Lord disagrees. He's the Assistant Secretary of State for East Asia.
The basic policy of strategic engagement with China we've been pursuing from the very beginning may not have been articulated well enough or high enough level and consistently enough so it was understood. But we've done a better job, I think, recently, including a very major speech by Secretary Christopher a few months ago and presidential statements to make clear why we want this comprehensive engagement.
China specialist Nancy Bernkoff Tucker of Georgetown University says the administration's shortcomings were much more basic. She says U.S.-China relations spiraled out of control because President Clinton neglected foreign affairs, especially Asia.
Even though in the early days of his administration, there was a lot of talk about how Asia had now become a center of American concern, and that in the 21st century, America would have to deal with Asia the way it had dealt with Europe in the 20th century. I don't think that the upper-level members of the administration ever really believed that. There's been a tendency to let Asians feel as though the United States doesn't care, and I think that's a great mistake.
Assistant Secretary of State Lord defends the president. He says the Clinton administration has focused attention on Asia, more so than did its predecessors. Lord points out that Bill Clinton's first trip abroad as president was to Japan. Nancy Tucker points to the crisis last year over the U.S. decision to grant a visa to Taiwanese President Lee Teng-hui.
Given the inattention to Asia and to Chinese affairs, the administration did not look ahead and say, we are going to have great difficulty not having Lee Teng-hui visit, given sentiment on Capitol Hill. Had they said that to themselves and gone to the Chinese 6 months ahead, 8 months ahead, and explained the realities of politics in Washington, I believe something might have been worked out.
Instead, she says, the administration, until the last moment, let the Chinese think the visit would not take place. Beijing later felt betrayed and questioned Washington's commitment to a one-China policy. Stanley Roth and Ambassador Lord offer a different version of events. They say the administration told Beijing how strongly Congress felt, and the visit was not a surprise. Other China experts say that regardless, the administration blundered from the start by failing to make Congress understand what would happen if the visa were granted. Winston Lord says that's not fair.
We talked at great length to the Congress at many levels, including my level. Lots of testimony, lots of exchanges. And the Congress, and I think this is understandable, just could not understand why Beijing would react violently to an individual coming to this country on a private visit to his alma mater and not meeting with American officials, why that is such a major event.
China's outrage at the Li Donghui visit reverberated for months. Beijing recalled its ambassador from Washington. Meetings were canceled. The tension escalated. Last spring, Beijing conducted missile tests near Taiwan. The U.S. then sent aircraft carrier battle groups into nearby waters. It was a very dangerous period. China specialists say that in the last few months, the U.S.-China relationship has improved considerably. They suggest that the administration has learned some lessons over 4 years. Don't let one issue drive Washington's entire China policy. Pay attention to the communist giant in the East and keep talking to Beijing. Sinologists say that as the administration prepares for the next 4 years, it had better keep those lessons in mind, because with the immediate challenges of trade policy, arms proliferation, China's treatment of dissidents, Taiwan, the takeover of Hong Kong, there's no time for re-education. I'm Vicki O'Hara in Washington.